That's staying in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're here, we're recording. Wait a minute, I can't.
This is wrong. These are yours.
How do you know?
Because mine were. I have a bigger head than she does.
Oh, fair enough.
And those were short.
I've been meaning to talk to you about your big head.
It's so big.
Oh my god. I can't figure out the correct way to put them on, apparently.
The correct way is whatever way is most comfortable.
In reverse.
You took my headphones.
I didn't.
I think so.
Children?
I mean, you can have it.
Whatever.
There's headphones for everyone. Just choose a pair, put them on your head.
Here we are.
Here we be. Hold on, Holmes, because you know you and your audio.
Oh. Hold on, let me
just keep that as close to your mouth as you comfortably can, because I always have to boost you anyways.
I had this.
Meanwhile, this one needs to be as far as possible from hers.
We need.
My mouth is on the microphone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're peeking, so you don't have to be quite that close. Okay.
Right. We need to talk about a dream I had. I was giving a speech, and I accidentally licked the microphone during my speech.
Very uncomfortable that my mouth was just on this microphone.
I'm so gross. So there's that. I'd forgotten about that dream until right this second.
That's why we have assigned seats, so you can have your own mouth germs.
Gross. So, in Maryland, I don't know if you noticed the last episode when you were talking about Maine. How when you started speaking about the lake monster, I had little to say.
Oh no.
It's because... So Maryland had two main urban legends. And I don't know if you guys remember when I did Kentucky, how they had the Goat Man of Kentucky. There was also a Goat Man of Maryland, and when I had said that, when I saw it in my research, I didn't realize that my very next episode was going to be Maryland.
Oh, yeah, because we even said, I wonder if when we do Maryland that will pop back up. Yes, I do remember that.
And, yes, well, it did, and it was one of the most prevalent, but there was another one that was just as popular, and it was Chessie, who is the sea monster of Chesapeake Bay.
So his name is Chessie?
So, here's the thing. When I had the choice, I was like, okay, one, they just listened to me my last episode talk about the Goatman, so they probably don't want to hear another whole episode right away about the Goatman from me. And two,
I would have listened.
Chessie's story was just more cheerful, and I was just not in the mood for more drama and horror.
It's been that kind of year.
So, yeah. So I went with Chessie. So
I like Chessie.
We're going to learn about Chessie.
I love
you know
her
what?
Name
That's
is
fine,
Chessie.
Though, because, in the main episode, we talked about how there were supposed to be lake monsters and all these different bodies of water, so I'm sure it's a totally different story.
Yes, and I'm, biting my tongue because I was like, I don't want to say anything that's going to give away my research, but...
I love it.
Chessie is said to be a serpent-like creature, so pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
A serpent-like creature with flippers as part of her body. There have been many sightings over the years, and most describe her as having a dark, snake-like body, being anywhere between 25 to 40 feet long, so not quite as long as the one in Maine.
Okay.
And about as thick around as a telephone pole, having a roundish football-shaped head.
Football.
Football.
Beat it, football head.
Yeah. She is said to swim, moving her body like a sine wave, so kind of undulating, through the water. Most reports would lead us to believe that Chessie is similar in size and mobility to the prehistoric creature, forgive me if I say this wrong, but Basilosaurus is how I think you say it.
Basilisk.
That reminded me of that.
Yeah.
But that word is actually Latin for lizard king, and resembles an early whale genus. So.
Interesting.
Basilisk, and this being a serpent-like creature, makes sense.
Uh-huh. Whale creature.
But it means lizard king and resembles an early whale. So it was all very confusing there.
I wanted to say all hail the lizard king, but I knew I wouldn't remember what that was from. I just know the expression, and then I knew that Terrence would be cringing listening to this because I don't know the reference. So I'm glad that I told you why I didn't say it, because it's basically the same thing as me saying
say.
It.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. So... Mike Frizzell he reminded me, I don't know if it's Frizzell or Frizzle, I kind of just want to go with Frizzle.
Related to Miss Frizzle of the Magic School Bus,
right,
perhaps?
So I just want to go with Frizzle.
Mm-hmm. The Frizz.
He's the director of Project Enigma that studies different enigmas, but did a lot of study on the creature that has been named Chessie. By the way, I would like to do just a little, just let you guys know, I am calling Chessie her, but the monster was referred to as it through most of the research. So I assigned her this pronoun, or I assigned it this pronoun, because I just felt like I didn't want to say it the whole time. So.
Fair enough. That's all right.
So there's not actually an assigned gender to Chessie. Nobody really knows that many details about her.
Let it be known that if Chessie chooses to reach out and contact us and we've used the incorrect pronoun, we'll be sure to let you know that we our mistake in the future.
I'll make the correction. I just thought it was interesting that never, like, I was doing it before I even realized it. I was, like, typing out her, and then I was like, it never says that. I just made this up in my head. And I think I know why, is because the whole time I'm doing this research, I'm thinking about Kingsley from King Paul's.
Oh my god, yes!
And so, and obviously, Kingsley is a her, so I think that's why I just made that connection. But yeah, the gender is unknown of this sea monster.
Love it.
We're gonna call her anyway.
Her.
Anyway, Mike Frizzle correlated her appearances with the movements of bluefin fish by analyzing reports that were filed about her, so it suggests that Chessie feeds on these fish.
I want a dog named Chessie now.
It's kind of fun.
It is fun. Cute. Okay.
State Senator George W. Della of Baltimore drafted a resolution in 1984 to encourage serious scientific inquiry. This is, quotes, encourage serious scientific inquiry by the state into Chessie and other unusual animals in the Chesapeake Bay, end quote. Hmm. He was widely criticized for this, but said that he had been receiving letters about Chessie for more than 20 years from all kinds of concerned citizens, ranging from school-aged children to research directors. And so he felt it was time to take the matter seriously. So there's a lot of talk about Chessie in Maryland.
I'm sure he bought himself some goodwill by preserving her, whether he believes she's real or not.
Right. As with all of our urban legends, there's all kinds of theories as to where Chessie might have come from. And there are many alleged photographs of Chessie that have been taken over time. And there's even one video, but it's so far away that, I mean, you can kind of draw your own conclusions about it, but there's no concrete evidence of her existence. Mm-hmm. Skeptics explain away sightings as people seeing a mutant eel.
That's a big eel.
Correct. Large river otters was also an explanation.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Prehistoric zeglodons.
Sure. Yeah, casual.
Anacondas escaping from South American ships. And in at least one case, a visiting manatee.
So what? All I can think about is the Princess Bride and the shrieking eels, the giant and monsters with teeth.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
so
think
that's
about
where
that.
My brain is.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The anacondas. Some people who suggest that Chessie is related to anacondas that escaped from South American ships. It's because these ships, like, they said that these ships would have sailed and been abandoned in Baltimore.
Standard place to abandon one ship.
Right. Well, snakes apparently used to be kept in the holds of the ships in the 17th and 18th centuries to keep rats under control. So, here's your thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want the rats, but you're going to invite a snake in and bring a snake onto the ship.
Yeah.
So, would you go ahead and just put an anaconda on your ship to keep the rats at bay?
My anaconda
We had to go there.
I tried. I held it in for like 5 minutes.
I didn't start it. I need it noted that I did not start it. Okay.
If I sound stupid, I'm taking that out.
Tammy's looking at us like we are complete idiots.
Tammy just has no patience with us ever.
I just want it noted that that was an unintentional invite to sing that song.
You didn't put in your notes pause for?
No, I sure did not. So green anacondas can grow up to 22 feet long and do primarily live in water, but they thrive in warm South American freshwater rivers.
Not
cold seawater.
Right.
So many are doubtful that an anaconda could even if it was abandoned there all these years ago, that it could survive the temperatures of North American winters.
They don't think it, what's the word, not assimilate, but like, you know where, like, you know how when an animal's transported unintentionally and then they adapt to their surroundings?
Yeah.
I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but they don't think that they could have done that.
Adapt.
that word I just used, the one I'm looking for. Thanks, Tammy. I don't feel like an idiot at all.
Sorry, I was trying to find another word for you.
My father right now has just got his head in his hands. He's just shaking his head.
It's fine. There's lots of words.
I don't know.
So good at comforting. So some suggest that Chessie may be a product of some sort of mutation caused by the Calvert Cliffs nuclear power plant.
Sure.
That went live in the mid-1970s, but there were many sightings that took place before that time, so that's not really all that likely for probably more than one reason.
Right.
Anyway. Some say the descriptions of Chessie are in line with that of an oarfish. Do you guys know what an oarfish is?
I don't.
I've heard the term, but I have no idea what it looks like.
So it kind of looks a lot like a giant mutant eel.
Gross.
Whale type thing. So
eel whale. I hate those eel whales.
Right. So oarfish can grow up to 36 feet, and they look like giant eels with dorsal fins is the description. And I looked it up, and it really is pretty, like, large and...
I want to
Google it. But I can
it.
See why they think it's that, then. Like, that sounds like the description you just gave.
Well, so, but those guys live in temperature waters below 600 feet.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did his hair.
Sorry. His hair?
The oarfish's hair.
Does it look like my son's? Oh, yeah. Sticking up in every direction?
Yes.
Kind of.
It's a bit of a mohawk. Yeah, I think that's his fin, but whatever.
I'm going with hair. He's got a mohawk.
Yeah, but they live in waters below 600 feet, and the depth of the bay is only 175 feet, apparently. Okay. So they
are... So climate's not quite right.
Right. Well, and they... Oarfish, I guess, are known to come up to depths this much higher when they're injured or sick, but for it to be an oarfish that was regularly there seen for that many years, you know, not likely. Many of the sightings of Chessie took place in the late 70s and 80s, which some people attribute to the increased fear of water monsters that came with the release of Jaws, because Jaws was released in 1975.
Fair. Also, you know, lots of hallucinogenic drugs.
Well, yeah, that is a really good point. Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I said it.
Well, I'm sure. You're not wrong.
Shout out to my mom, whose favorite movie is Jaws, I think.
Is Jaws? Think,
yes.
Really? Obsessed. Kevin loves it, too. Every time it's on, he's like, hey, do you want to watch this? I'm like, no, I really don't. Like, I've gone this far in my life, and I've never seen it in its entirety.
You're going to get a call from Susu in this episode.
I'm not. But you know how, like, when you
I
miss...
I see the text right now. Right. Excuse me, Aaron.
You miss a window, right, where, like, something's a cult classic. Like Princess Bride, because I mentioned that earlier. Right. It's my favorite movie. But, like, when you look at it with current, fresh eyes, you're like, okay, it's kind of silly. But, like, when you're in the midst of it, in the hype, you're all about it. So if you go now with 20/20 vision, pardon the, like... stupid expression, because Tammy just rolled her eyes at me.
My soul was just crushed.
Vision from the year 2020 and go and look at Jaws, you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, you can nearly see the cardboard cutout being raised. Uh-huh. But at the time, it's terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
This is like, so, just sidebar, but when we were kids, my stepmom told me that the scariest movie ever was Amityville Horror. And I remember watching it, and I was like, this movie is not that scary. She was like, well, at the time it was.
That's
like,
exactly
now
right.
It's way different. I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
That's exactly right.
It's true, that movie wasn't that scary.
So anyway, there was a lot of obsession over, like, large things in the water that might eat you.
Sea creatures.
Correct. Which I have all the respect for, even now. I'm not trying to mess with anything. Like, I love the water, but I have a healthy respect for the things that live in the water, because there are some things in the ocean that I am just not even trying to know about.
Yeah, that's Terry, too. She didn't want to get where she can't see her feet.
Shout out to Ologies, because Tammy and I just listened to the jellyfish podcast, jellyfish episodes.
It's true.
So interesting.
It is.
So you don't listen to Ologies yet, do you?
Oh, it's great. I only just started listening to
it
this week.
What? Oh,
we'll catch up offline.
I'll inform you in a minute.
We'll talk about that later. You're always promoting other podcasts.
Always.
On
podcast. I know. I wish somebody would just pay a sponsorship, because all we do is just promote other things we like.
I know. We like podcasts.
It's okay. We only have 6 listeners. Don't worry about it.
It's not true. We have 20 million.
No.
It probably lies somewhere between those two numbers.
It's like 30. Yeah, it's like a 30 consistent downloads. Yeah.
Okay, that's still awesome. Anyways.
So, Tammy, would you like to finish your episode, or should we just continue down this rabbit trail?
I'm just a little lost. Hold on.
Y'all
me too, all day.
Okay, so, anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, we talked about Jaws.
Yeah, we call that an ad break is what we call that.
That's a good point.
See? Did it on purpose.
An ad for our actual sponsor.
Anchor. The only one who will pay us.
Okay. So, also in the 70s, the bay was apparently very unhealthy at that time, with pollution, and they had rampant overfishing and a lack of blue crabs hatching, which I think I understand, like, blue crab is, like, pretty, I think, probably a big money bringer in that area. Some say that the polluted bay created a monster, while some say that the sea monster drew attention to the polluted bay.
Okay.
So, it's kind of like a, which one came first? But there have been no recorded attacks from Chessie. Well, you can see why I picked her over the goat man.
She's like Kingsy. Yeah,
right,
she's
exactly.
Friendly sea monster.
See? You see why she reminded me of Kingsy. So she seems to be peaceful, and those sightings do not happen nearly as frequently as they used to. Chessie is still a huge part of Maryland's culture. So it's not even just like it's an urban legend, like it's a story that's like pretty involved. Okay, so let's talk about some sightings.
Let's do it.
Some different ones. There were apparently, like I said, a lot in the 70s and 80s with fewer sightings in the years since, but the earliest sighting of Chessie may have taken place actually in Virginia all the way back in 1846. So, I mean...
Does the Chesapeake Bay run down the coastline? Yeah.
So, okay. I had to look it up because I'm terrible at geography and don't know much about...
It's not that far.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, not just that, but, like, I was like, okay, Chesapeake Bay, let me make sure that this is actually, like, Maryland. So,
yeah, right.
Most of the sightings are, like, in the part of the Chesapeake Bay that
is in Maryland.
Is near Maryland, right?
Yeah.
But, obviously, like, you know, goes out and so could go as far as, you know, the ocean.
Sure.
Anyway, so, in 1846, Captain Larson reported seeing, you know, Captain Larson.
Yeah.
Lawson, sorry, I didn't say his name right.
Yeah, get it right.
He doesn't like it when you do that.
No, he probably doesn't. Probably is not listening to this podcast, though.
Chances are strong.
He saw... I was about to say he saw Kingsley. He saw Chessie back in 1846. Anyway, reported seeing a small-headed creature between Cape Charles and Cape Henry near the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. So, could likely be unrelated, but for some people thought that that was the first ever sighting. More popularly believed to be the first ever sighting was in 1936. So, about 100 years later.
Okay.
90 years later. The crew of a military helicopter flying over the Bush River, which is located slightly north of Baltimore and spills into the Chesapeake Bay, reported having spotted, quote, something reptilian and unknown in the water, end quote.
Mm.
So, like I said, a lot of people think that was the first Chessie sighting. In 1943, two fishermen, Francis Clarman and Edward J. Ward, would you like to be named Edward Ward?
No, his parents didn't love him.
Edward Ward.
Reported seeing something in the water near Baltimore. So this is a quote from something that they wrote. This thing was about 75 yards away at right angles from our boat. At first, it looked like something floating on the water. It was black, and the part of it that was out of the water seemed about 12 feet long. It has a head about as big as a football and shaped somewhat like a horse's head. It turned its head around several times, almost all the way around. So that sounds a little embellished, maybe.
It's like exorcist land.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything else that made me think that Chessie had exorcist abilities.
I just pictured the oar fish doing
with his mohawk.
Yes, with the mohawk, just turning all the way around.
I whip my hair back and forth.
So 20 years later, in 1963, a helicopter pilot wrote to his Maryland senator, quote, I assure you that Chessie exists, or my eyes were deceiving me, end quote. After reportedly seeing her while flying over the lower Bush River, so this is kind of the same area, Dr. Lionel A. Walford, referred to as, this is what he was referred to as, a sober researcher. Somebody help me. I didn't go look this up. Why does he?
I'm sorry.
Well, no one's ever described me that way.
No? No.
Sober researcher. Like, are the majority of researchers in the area not so? Like, what's happening
Wouldn't
here?
Wouldn't you be?
Anyway.
I feel like that's, like, a pretty in-depth job you need to have your wits about you.
Right?
Well,
I'd just like to very briefly remind you that the Florida episode was on skunk apes, and there's no chance any of them were sober researchers.
Uh-huh. I did think about old
days. Including the researcher for the... No, I'm just kidding.
Including the one who did the story.
I did think about old Dave when I was reading about the guy,
Dave.
Mike Frizzle,
oh, Dave.
Who heads up Project Enigma. Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Sober researcher.
The sober researcher, he was referred to as such by the Baltimore Sun, but he reported seeing something 40 feet long, 5 inches wide, and about 7 or 8 inches deep in the bay, also in 1936. So I don't know if that was the same guy. I don't know if the sober researcher and the helicopter pilot were the same or not. In 1977, Greg Hupka took a photo of an unusual creature swimming near the Potomac River that is believed to be Chessie. Witnesses claim to have seen Chessie near Calvert Cliff State Park near Southern Maryland in 1978, which is the same year... Wait, no, it's not. It's the next year. Anyway, oh, I'm sorry, no, my notes, I can read my own notes. In the same year, there was a sighting in the Potomac River in Virginia by a retired CIA officer and his wife.
I think the Potomac River is the one that runs either through or very near D.C.
I think you're right. I think that's true.
We were just in D.C. last summer. We actually flew into Baltimore. That's how I know Maryland is as close as it is. It was only like 45-minute cab ride. But yeah, that's like, it just keeps ringing true. I think it's right there through D.C.
I think it...
Potomac?
I think it might be the river that runs through which George Washington's place called?
Oh, Mount Vernon?
Yes.
Could be.
I think, but I might be wrong. But I do think you're right.
Terry will message you after this episode airs and let you know.
She'll let me know. You'll hear about John and I'll hear about George.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to Mount Vernon with Terry.
Okay. Yeah.
Witnesses claim to have seen... Oh, I already read that part.
It's a train wreck.
Go to the next one. In September of 1980, boater Trudy Guthrie published a sketch of an unknown sea creature in the Evening Sun. It was explained away by some as a manatee from Florida. So here's the one that I told you that people thought was a manatee. Manatees are occasionally actually sighted in the area, but unlike serpents, they leave a smooth footprint as they swim. So I'm not sure why somebody told her specifically that this was a manatee that she saw instead of a giant sea creature, but whatever.
That's weird.
Smooth footprint in the water.
Yeah, okay. I think, like, because they don't, like, go up. So Chessie goes up and down. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the hand motion for all our listeners.
Yeah, they can see you in their heads. It's fine.
In 1980, 24 people occupying 4 charter boats are said to have observed Chessie.
I wonder if they were sober researchers.
It didn't say.
Chances are slim.
Okay, so I told you there was a video. So Robert and Karen Frew are the ones who are known for having captured a supposed video recording of Chessie in May of 1982 near Kent Island. Apparently, the Frews were entertaining friends at their home that's along the bay, and it was like a clear Memorial Day evening. Robert looked out into the bay around 7:30 p.m. He saw what he said he thought might have been a log floating at first, but it was about 7 feet long and propelling itself. So he got the attention of other people around him, and they watched as whatever it was disappeared under the water and then reappeared, revealing itself to be almost 40 feet long with humps on its back. They realized that this was a creature, and Robert, who was trained in wildlife management, was unable to recognize the species. So they decide, at this point, I remember like reading something from his perspective that was like, at this point I'm like, oh, why am I not filming this? So he decided to catch the long, dark, serpentine-like creature on film. So he was able to capture a grainy recording, which later aired on WJZ-TV. The scientists at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History scrutinized the tape and said that the creature was, quote, animate, but unidentifiable. They also said that they were, also, quote, basically non-committal, but not skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't like, no, it's not.
I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not.
Exactly. So Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory was able to enhance the tape to reveal a, quote, brownish, snake-like, or eel-like aquatic animal, round as a telephone pole, with humps along its back and a football-shaped head, end quote.
So right back to what you said at the very top of this episode.
Right, exactly. Well, and most of the sightings do describe the same way.
Yeah.
So. They confirmed that it was, quote, a definitely serpentine form emerged from the blurry tape, end quote. So that's the most concrete evidence of Chessie existing. That's not just kind of like hearsay.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you could argue, like you just said. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. In 1984, there were apparently 3 separate families that reported having spotted something unusual in the water. I found a specific story that might have been one of them because there was no date, but Clyde Taylor and his daughter Carol reported seeing Chessie as they were walking on the Chesapeake. Time to be instead of a C in Chesapeake. I was like, wait, does that say something else?
Chesapeake. Uh-huh. Familiar.
On the Chesapeake's beach by the Chester River, which is the far northern part of the bay. They said they saw a ripple moving across calm water and then saw the creature that was causing it and described it as black or amber colored. Clyde reported that the creature had a tubular body about 30 feet long and as wide as a telephone pole. He said that it looked like a giant serpent, its eyes resembled a large snake eye, and it moved through the water with an undulating motion, so pretty much in line. Apparently, Carol got within 30 feet of the creature before it saw her and disappeared under the water.
Dang it, Carol.
Gotta get out of here.
Didn't want its picture taken.
I don't blame it. Neither does Tammy.
In 1997, there was a reported sighting off the shore of Fort Smallwood Park. Apparently, in this sighting, Chessie was very close to the shore. And then the most recent reported sighting of Chessie was in April 5th of 2014. She was reportedly seen around 1:40 a.m. by a Maryland resident who was parked on the side of the Arundel Beach Road next to the Magathy River. I I had a hard time not reading that as Maggoty River the first time. I was like, wait, what?
I like it better.
The resident reported that he and his friend saw Chessie when the tide was really high, less than 5 feet away from his car. He described her as a snake-like creature, 25 to 30 feet in length, without fins, topped with a slender football-shaped head and black in color.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he could not tell if she was covered in scales or leathery skin, and he said that the creature did not rise out of the water, but the head and tail just breached the surface of the water as it moved like a serpent. He said he first questioned himself if it was could have been two separate animals traveling like one behind the other, but then realized that it was one creature because of the pattern that it created on the water's surface. So there are apparently not any snakes known to the area that get anywhere near 25 feet, so kind of like you said with the lake in Maine. The guy did not get a picture of Chessie because he said he was, quote, so busy trying to figure out what the hell I was looking at.
Fair enough.
I mean, I don't...
Right.
Yeah.
We don't all run to get our camera.
No.
All right, so those are some sightings. So I told you that Chessie is a pretty big part of Maryland's culture. She's been used as an environmental icon for the Chesapeake Bay by the by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. An educational Chessie coloring book was put out in 1986 called Chessie, A Chesapeake Bay Story. It focused on protecting resources, and a second coloring book, Chessie Returns, was published in 1991. So I don't know if you noticed. That was the year I was born and then the year you were born.
Interesting.
But why did you not bring me those for my children?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't I don't you know if they're just still bring them printed, to me?
So, but you can look online and see a picture of them. In the 1980s, Chessie became a symbol for environmental advocacy in Maryland. It seems like she's kind of like the Smokey the Bear for the water.
Yeah.
Love that.
There were friendly illustrations of Chessie published in newspapers and government publications alongside articles about environmental issues. Eric Cheesham wrote in Discovering Chessie, Waterfront Regional Identity and the Chesapeake Bay. He wrote, the friendliness of the monster, too, could not help but convey the sense that the bay was a harmless victim of pollution. So remember I said that it wasn't doing all that well in the 70s and 80s.
Only you can prevent ocean pollution.
Correct. So I guess originally, like some of the stories, maybe Chessie was like a little bit more frightening and,
mm-hmm.
you know, talked about more like a monster would be, but had become friendly over time.
Yeah, sure.
So in pop culture, just a few references, there's a statue of Chessie at the entrance of, Ripley's Believe It or Not in Baltimore.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently chose Chessie to advertise the museum because it's such a huge myth in the area and such a huge part of the culture. The Cambridge, Maryland-based RAR Brewing has Chessie on many of their beer cans.
I would too. Okay. It's perfect marketing.
Exactly. And the minor league baseball team, the Bowie Bay Sox, has a green monster mascot named Louie, whose design is based on Chessie.
Nice.
Okay, so just one more story, and then that's all I have for you today. I remember I told you about the manatee.
Yes.
Okay, so this is just a fun story. It's not directly, like, it's not about this Chessie specifically. Anyway, there was a manatee that was rescued from Chesapeake Bay in October of 1994 that was nicknamed Chessie because of where it was found.
Right.
And returned to Florida. In 1995, this Chessie swam back to the bay and then up to Rhode Island. They were able to track it by a satellite tag that was attached to it. It is apparently rare for manatees to show up near Maryland, but this one has revisited the bay several times since then.
Oh.
It was believed to be photographed in the Patapso River in 2010 and was confirmed to have been photographed near the shore of Calvert County on July 12, 2011. So from 94 to 2011, this manatee swam from Florida.
It's not so cute.
It reminded me of the movie Andre. Remember at the end
when comes
back to visit? Yeah, made that swim until, for the length of its life, basically.
That's so precious.
That movie had me in my feelings.
So, that's it. That's Chessie.
I like Chessie. Chessie's a happy story.
I know. That's why I chose
it. So good. We can go to Maryland.
And yeah. So much better than the Poco Moonshine Lake Monster, where I'm like, I don't know.
I have
a page and a half of notes with nothing.
That's awesome. Oh, sweet Chessie.
I know. I like Chessie.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/